Okay. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Daher Esmet from ICAN. Thank you for joining us today. This is our third webinar on the topic of IANA stewardship transition and ICAN accountability. We held a couple of webinars in the past few months, the last of which was in early March. And when I say we held a couple of webinars on the topic, I mean those webinars were targeting Middle East community. Of course, there are so many other activities, you know, on those issues or processes. Since our last call or webinar, a lot of work has been done and much progress has been made on both processes, the IANA transition and the ICAN accountability track. Today we're going to again hear from our lead on this project or these processes from the ICAN side. Theresa Swinehart is ICAN's senior advisor to the president on strategy, and she's going to tell us more about where we are in both tracks and way forward from now till we reach Buenos Aires and after that. So I'm going to turn it over to Theresa. Theresa, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. Let me see, and I have slide control, so I can do the next. I can do that. Okay, perfect. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for welcoming me back, and it's actually a wonderful day to be presenting because yesterday, late U.S. time, so very early in the morning and during the day for the rest of the world, we were able to post the first set of draft recommendations for the accountability process. So with that, we have the naming community proposal out for public comment, the accountability process now out for public comment. And so it's actually a very historic time and the result of enormous, enormous community work and engagement by everybody around the world. So with that bit of opening and noting that today is a little bit different in the context of the time frames of what we've accomplished as a broader community, let me go through the slides. Some of them may be repetitive for those that are familiar with the process. Some of them may be informative for those who are newer to some of these discussions, and I'm happy to take questions then. What I do want to note is that on the slides and discussions around some of the various community efforts, it's the leadership of the community that has really worked on those consensus proposals, putting them forward, including the work and specifically for the ICG. So I don't want to be speaking on their behalf, just highlighting what the work is that's been underway. And I don't know if we have anybody on the call from representation of those groups, but if we do, please just flag and also help contribute to the discussion. So with that, it was a bit over a year ago that the U.S. announced that it was going to transition the stewardship role of the IANA function to the global multi-stakeholder community, and it did this because it felt that the community was ready, and that's the result of everybody's work over the past many years with ICAN's formation, with the engagement by the community in enabling the ICAN as an organization and the community to be prepared to enable this kind of transition to happen. It's always been the intention of the U.S. to do this final phase for the transition of its stewardship role to the community and to ICAN. And the timing of this was really the result of the enormous work that made it possible for this event to happen. So it's a bit over a year ago, and since then there's been tremendous amount of community work in progress. The U.S. administration and NTIA specifically, can you hear me okay? Yeah, okay.
Okay, I hear
specifically,
you.
Okay, good. Specifically noted that there were some criteria that needed to be met with regards to a proposal from the community. And I think it's always important to remind ourselves of this because as the proposals are finalized, as consensus is reached, it will be important that these principles are met in what is submitted then to NTIA and then finally put into operation. And those are supporting and enhancing the multi-stakeholder model, importantly maintaining security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet DNS, and meeting the expectations of global customers, maintaining an open Internet, and not replacing their role with a government-led or intergovernmental organization. So the question is oftentimes that we get is why is this important? Why would this matter to the global community to transition this? And I think many who've been involved in discussions over the years around Internet governance have been following this need for the transition quite a bit. But for those who are newer to the discussions, here's just some highlights. With regards to business, at this point in time, it's almost $8 trillion that exchange hands through e-commerce globally. And this is the result of a global, secure, stable, and interoperable Internet. That is the ability to communicate on a global level seamlessly. So the economic growth opportunities and social opportunities with regards to having a single global interoperable Internet are actually quite significant and have evolved, obviously, rapidly over the years. And this doesn't matter just to business. It obviously matters to users as well and to governments. So businesses have an important role in these conversations as the transition is happening. And we have a lot of business involved, and it's important that we have global business engaged in these discussions. Obviously, the next billion Internet users will be coming from the developing and emerging economies. And so, as a result, having a single government oversight over the functions is no longer an optimal direction to be going, not in the new global landscape. And so we've seen a lot of business involved in these discussions, both from a business standpoint, but also from their technical representation standpoint. And I think it's an important aspect for the transition itself. Why does it matter to the technical community and to those that are helping develop the Internet and the innovation on the edge? The IANA services are core and critical to the use of the Internet Unique Identifier System. And for many years, the technical community itself has been calling for an end to the contract. And this is an opportunity for the technical community to also reaffirm and show its long, long-standing experience and expertise and delivery in a bottom-up and multi-stakeholder engagement around enabling the Internet to be what it is, this decentralized mechanism that has relationships with each other, that has enabled the Internet to evolve to what it is between the different operational communities that have a relationship with the IANA functions themselves. And so they play an important role in the Internet governance, and in particular around maintaining the security and stability of the DNS and ensuring that the functions continue to meet the needs and expectations of the global customers and partners. It matters to governments as well, and importantly, governments play an important role in various areas around Internet governance, including Internet public policy issues. And the successful completion of the transition reaffirms and recognizes that no single government or group of governments has any form of control over security, stability, and interoperability of the unique identifier system. And this is an important aspect of enabling the transition to happen. And we have many governments that are engaged, obviously, in this process, including through the Governmental Advisory Committee. It also matters to civil society and to users and to the user communities. They're also following the processes. They're actively engaged in the process. They bring the perspective of users in civil society, in the processes of internet governance more broadly, and also in the process of the transition itself in order to enable that, in particular also with regard to the accountability mechanisms that we're looking at for ICANN. So with that, let me go into where we are with the processes. All of the stakeholders I just went through there, plus many, many others, are involved in the discussions to enable this transition to happen. When the announcement came, there were two processes that were established. One was referred to as the IANA stewardship transition, and the other was looking at how to strengthen ICANN accountability in light of the changing relationship with the U.S. administration. That is the historical contractual relationship and the perceived backstop that the U.S. Plays. The process that was developed was one where you have an IANA coordination group, which is pulling. I don't know if people can hear me. There's quite a bit of background noise.
No, but, I can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll ask you, is this a private call or a public call?
Excuse me?
This call is private or public?
Baher?
If I heard the question right, whether the call is private or public, no, this is a public call, it's an open call. Did you get the answer, or?
No, I didn't hear the answer.
So what is the question again?
What is the kind of this call? It's private or public?
I mean, this is a call on the IANA stewardship transition and ICANN accountability, and it's open for anyone who wants to participate. So it's an open call.
To participate in the next event.
Again, if the question is about the call, then it's not a closed call. It's not a private call. Now, if the question is about the content of this call, so let's finish the presentation, and then we'll have time to ask questions. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. So this diagram here, if... whoever's able to put themselves on mute, that would be fantastic. Okay, great. So this diagram is a depiction of the process for the proposals for both those relating to the operational communities, which I'll touch on very shortly, which are compiled and put together by the ICG. You'll see the box there. In the slide, that's the IANA coordination group. They're pulling together the operational proposals and ensuring they meet the criteria set out by NTIA, which I outlined earlier. They will prepare that proposal, submit it to the ICANN board, which then transmits it to NTIA, the U.S. Department of Commerce. The other process, which I had outlined, is the one around strengthening ICANN accountability in light of the changing relationship with the U.S. administration. I'll also touch on that briefly. And that, again, will have a set of recommendations that will go to the ICANN board, which ICANN will then transmit likewise to NTIA. What I want to do here is just reflect. I won't go into detail here. But I mentioned at the beginning the absolutely enormous amount of community engagement, the volunteer community time, the global breadth of the participation in this transition, and I think it's a very clear demonstration of all stakeholders becoming engaged in this important process that has meant a lot for everybody, and the amount of time and commitment that's being put towards that. ICANN's role in this is to help facilitate the process and help support it, and the community consensus is obviously progressing very, very well with proposals. And this slide, I think, is a good indication of some of the time frames and some of the commitment of the community into this process as well. So let me drill down just a little bit on where we are with regards to the proposals. The IANA coordination group, as I mentioned earlier, was established with the community at the onset of the announcement by the administration with its intention to transition. It has representation from all stakeholder communities. The community self-selected their members. The IANA coordination group established its own working methods and modes of operation, and we provide support to that, including through a non-ICANN staff secretariat. The responsibilities of the ICG, or IANA coordination group, are to serve as a liaison to all interested parties, and I know there's many representations that all of you know and have on the ICG. Assess the outputs of the three operational communities with regards to compatibility and interoperability, assemble the proposals, and then obviously information sharing and public communications and consultations. And I think we were going to have somebody from the ICG on this call, but if there's any questions, it's also helpful to direct them in, directly to the ICG leadership, and Bahir can also help with that. So the ICG had indicated a request for the transition proposals from the different operational communities. That is the IETF for protocol parameters, the regional internet registries for the number resourcing or IP addressing, and the domain names from the cross-community working group for the naming-related functions. And this diagram shows how those different communities set up their operations and work with the communities to build consensus. On the protocol parameters, the IETF, they established a IANA plan working group. They underwent a wide range of discussions and had a total of 10 drafts that were produced over the period of 9 months. And they submitted their proposal to the ICG on the 6th of January, so earlier this year. The numbering resource community compiled five regional internet registries, likewise engaged in community discussions. They formed what was called a CRISP team, which stands for Consolidated RIR IANA Stewardship Proposal Team, and they engaged in their community discussions and provided their response to the IANA coordination group on the post-transition proposal and submitted that on the 15th of January earlier this year. The naming community established a community working group. They published a first draft of a proposal on the 1st of January, 1st of December, I'm sorry, 2014. And the public comment period demonstrated that there wasn't full consensus around certain areas, that there was some concern about some of the proposals, and as a result, the working group went back, given the public input, to continue its work to bring forward a second proposal based on the public comments that came in. They focused very much on operational areas and then structural areas in their second draft proposal. And that second draft was actually published very recently. And is open for public comment until the 20th of May. So I would encourage anybody who's interested in the naming community proposal to please take a look at that. The chairs of that working group provided webinars, which are available on our website, also going through the proposal itself. And the proposal looks at key elements that are listed here in order to provide some structure. Looking at establishing, for example, a consumer standing committee that's responsible for monitoring IANA functions performance, looking at a framework for approving changes to the root zone environment, and looking at accountability mechanisms and working closely with the accountability process and that working group on areas where they needed accountability with regards to their proposal. The current proposal suggests providing a post-transition IANA, PTI is what it's called, namely suggesting that a separate legal entity that would be a wholly owned subsidiary of ICANN may be an approach as opposed to a functional entity. And it outlines different areas for that structure in the proposal. They pose a series of opportunities for public input, and again, this is the time for everybody to provide their input to see if this is the direction that would be useful for the naming community specifically with regards to the transition process. The next steps for the naming community are, and I realize this is maybe a little bit small for everybody to see, is to have the public comment period open until the 20th of May, bring in that public comment, provide a delivery of that proposal then revised according to the public comment for discussion at our upcoming meeting in Buenos Aires to be discussed among the respective supporting organizations and advisory committees. And then they intend to deliver it to the IANA coordination group at the end of the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires, named the ICANN 53 meeting. This enables the IANA coordination group to finalize their proposal, submit it to ICANN, and then over to NTIA. So that's a lot of progress made for the IANA coordination group in the naming community. And the next steps for the ICG are that they will be having a face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires, continue looking at the proposals they have, receive the one from the naming community, and then look at how they may need to refine their timeline somewhat and set out the objectives for submitting it to ICANN and then NTIA. Specifically with regards to ICANN accountability, which is the other area that needs to be looked at in the context of the transition. The community had identified with the announcement of NTIA that ICANN's historical relationship with the U.S. administration may raise questions around strengthening ICANN accountability. And with that, there was the formation of a community working group that looked at two areas. One was a work stream focused on what needs to change before we have a transition. And the other work stream is accountability that community members had identified that is not related to the transition but may be areas to strengthen over time. The composition of this working group is here for those that are less familiar with it. And in looking at what needed to be strengthened, the working group also looked at existing accountability mechanisms that ICANN currently has. Such as our bylaw provisions, our obligations under U.S. laws and external laws, our organizational review mechanisms, our ICANN board selection process, which has a staggered board, which is a very strong accountability mechanism and a board that's selected by the community. We have bylaw-mandated redress mechanisms, and we also have, of course, reviews and reviews under the affirmation of commitments, which identify specific reviews, including around accountability and transparency. In looking at their work, the accountability divided itself into several subgroups, and those focused in on community empowerment. What are some additional mechanisms around community empowerment and accountability? How to strengthen the review and redress mechanism, as well as looking at what kinds of stress tests, what do we need to test these accountability mechanisms against to make sure that they're long-term, sustainable, and will scale globally. And as I mentioned, the draft proposal on the recommendations was just posted yesterday late U.S. time, so early and during the day for the rest of the world. Let me drill down a little bit here on community mechanisms. These are powers to hold the community accountable and to hold ICANN accountable. And these mechanisms would involve representation from the respective stakeholder community groups within the ICANN structure. It looks at strengthening the review and redress mechanisms and the standards for that. And then, obviously, it looks at the development of the list of risks and methodologies for testing these mechanisms. Specifically, what they looked at, and these are reflected in the proposal, are a revision to the mission and commitments and core values to strengthen and add to those in light of the changing relationship with the U.S., to enhance the independent review processes that currently exist, to establish some fundamental bylaws, that is, bylaws that require a higher threshold to change, and to introduce, again, the mechanisms for community empowerment, for example, if there's concern around whether public comment input and community views with regards to strategic planning or other areas have been heard. Transcribing some of the affirmation of commitment review provisions, for example, the accountability and transparency reviews into the bylaws, and enhancing the reconsideration process that currently exists. The risks and stress testing, that is testing the accountability mechanisms against certain areas, identified 25 different areas that have been divided into five categories. And those include testing against financial crisis or insolvency, that is making sure that there's mechanisms in place should something occur from a financial crisis or insolvency aspect. Stress testing against ensuring that there's accountability mechanisms with regard to failure to meet operational obligations, legal or legislative actions, failure of accountability more generally, or failure of accountability to external stakeholders or third parties. And the publicly posted document has a list of those stress tests and a table which identifies what they are, examples, and what proposed mechanisms would be to mitigate that with the accountability mechanisms that have been proposed. So that's the high-level overview of all the different activities happening. There's still opportunities to become involved, and importantly, to please look at the public comments and to please look at the posted materials and recommendations and provide your public comments and your views. Provide your input. It's very important that the proposals that are being put forward are developed by the community, have consensus from the community, and that all voices are heard in these processes. So I would encourage you to go to the information here, to subscribe to some of the updates that we have, and to take a look at what's been proposed and provide your input to that, and to stay involved and encourage your counterparts and your colleagues to stay involved and work with your representation on the different working groups as well. And help support them in the hard work that they're doing with that. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions. And again, I just want to thank everybody in the community who has been following and involved in this and for the long hours and days to bring things to where they are today. And obviously, we have a lot of discussion moving forward and look forward to seeing the final proposals and bringing the transition to conclusion. So Bahir, with that, I don't know if anybody else who may be participating in some of these working groups and leading areas wants to share their thoughts, or I'm happy to take any questions, whatever is best.
Thank you. Thanks, Felipe. Well, actually, we were supposed to have one of the ICG members, but he had a last-minute change in his schedule, so he couldn't join us. But let's open the floor for questions. Does anyone have any question for Teresa? You can either speak. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, there is someone speaking, but I can't hear him. Fahad, do you know who was trying to speak?
So I think it wasn't somebody who was trying to speak, but rather it was voice at the back end of somebody's line.
Okay, so anyway, if there's any question, you can either speak through your phone, or you can also place the question in the chat window. Okay, so Teresa, I have one question, or maybe two. So now we have two documents available for public comments, the naming proposal till May 20th and the accountability proposal till June on the Workstream 1 till June 3rd. So my first question is, what is going to happen in the window between the end of the public comments and the Buenos Aires meeting? And then my other question is, what do we expect to come out of the Buenos Aires meeting? So you told us that ICG is going to have a face-to-face meeting there. Do we have any expectation of the outcome of the of that? Not of the ICG meeting, but of the ICANN Buenos Aires meeting?
My observations have been two. One is the time frame between the conclusion of the public comments, so the May 20th deadline for the naming community and then the June 3rd for the accountability. The time frame shortly after that will be used to consolidate the public comments received, and the chairs and the working group pull that together so that the input is reflected in the revised proposals. For the naming community, their current plan is to take the revised proposal with the public comment input and then have discussions within the SOs, supporting organizations and advisory committees, utilizing the opportunity of the ICANN 53 meeting to have community discussions around that, ensure that everybody's comfortable with it, and then submit the proposal to the IANA coordination group at the end of the ICANN 53, so the Buenos Aires meeting. And with that submission, it allows the IANA coordination group to have the third and final operational community proposal to bring together with the other operational community proposals from the IETF and RIRs, complete that with the meeting of the criteria of NTIA, and engage with the communities and then put that in for ICANN and then transmission over to NTIA and the Department of Commerce. So that's the intended timeline for the naming community specifically. The ICG timeline, I can't speak to that, so it's probably best to look back with the ICG leadership with regards to the timeline on that. Or we can get you the information, but I think the ICG leadership has a sense of where they want to go time-wise moving forward once they receive the naming community proposal. So their timeline is obviously dependent upon that. With regards to the accountability process, again, taking the community input during the public consultation process, consolidating that, building it in, utilizing the opportunity of the Buenos Aires meeting for community discussions and further dialogue. And my understanding is that they would then like to go out for a second round of public comment, building on the public comment they received during this period, the discussions in Buenos Aires, and then allowing the community to once again provide their input into that, into what will then be the final set of recommendations for the work stream one that is the one that goes with the transition process. So that's the intended time frame and the work plan moving forward. I think Buenos Aires and the ICANN meeting will allow a good opportunity for many discussions and a coalescing of consensus. But I think it's also important that those who may not be able to attend also continue to provide their input into the discussions, as this is a global process and not everybody can be attending specific meetings, and hence the process itself and the ability to participate is global for everybody to be engaged with. I hope that answers your questions.
Yeah, it certainly does. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, I hear none. So this time probably because we didn't have anyone from the ICG team, so the call is very quiet. Okay, I see someone typing. Maybe we're going to get the question. Okay, so one thing I want to sort of stress on is what Teresa said about participation in this process. This is very important, and this is the time for everyone to provide input and to raise their, any concerns or opinions through the two public comments processes that were recently announced. And let me, I'm just bringing you back to slide 29. Where Teresa has listed all the details about, dates, about processes, about contact information, if you have any question, you can write to me, you can write to Tahed, and we'll do our best to help you and to guide you through this process. So it's important for the Middle East community to be part of this process for reasons that Teresa has spoken to. Okay, before bringing the call to an end, are there any questions or comments? Okay, so thank you.
Bahir, can I just add one quick thing? Sorry, I just wanted to let everybody know that first, there's been webinars done specifically for the naming community proposal, and Bahir, maybe those can be circulated so people can look at the audio or video for, or not video but audio for that. And also for the accountability proposal that's just been posted, the chairs intend to conduct webinars for that as well. So that may be a helpful way to get an overview of the proposals themselves. Both documents are quite long, but they have been posted also with some visuals, and then the webinars being provided by the chairs or the respective working groups should also be able to help ask questions and engage with the chairs on any areas that might be of interest or clarification and awareness around those. So I just wanted to flag that those webinars have been held and are being held for the accountability work stream as well, coming up next week.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you, Teresa. I think there's one coming up on May 11th. Yeah, and we've already share the information about this call on the mailing list, different mailing lists in the region, and we're going to send reminders as we come close to the date.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're done. Thank you, Teresa, for this very helpful and informative update. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and look forward to our next update. Thank you. Have a good day.
Wonderful. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.